Give it up for the 2021 Billboard Top Rock Artist, Machine Gun Kelly!
What do you think?
Sounds cliche, but
tell me, would you wait for me? Baby, I'm a rolling stone. I got a lot of right in me, but I don't wanna say this wrong. Tell me, would you wait for me?
There you go.
For Machine Gun Kelly.
Your Grey Cup halftime entertainer. Well, the reviews are in on my Facebook page, and they're hilarious to read. Some of you excited. Others are like, who? Some are just like, come on. How could they? Machine Gun Kelly, or MGK, an American rapper, singer, songwriter, producer. He acts too. His musical style is a little hip-hop, some pop rap, rap rock. His style influenced by Eminem, even though he's feuded with him heavily behind the scenes. But yeah, he's the guy that was in a relationship with actress Megan Fox for the longest time. They were going to get married, then they called it off. But I believe they even had a daughter together eventually here, too. But yeah, Machine Gun Kelly, the halftime show, Our Lady Peace, will be part of the kickoff show. The Grey Cup is now less than a month away. And, of course, all the riders have to do is win the West Final, and they're in. Our Green and White tonight in Winnipeg, kickoff at 6. Green Zone pregame show will start, of course, at 4. My buddy Belton Johnson, our Grey Cup champ, will be popping by at a few to tee up that game for us here. But elsewhere, the Elks visit the Lions. BC is 4 points ahead of Edmonton and hoping to break its tie with Calgary for second place in the West. It's another one of those football weekends, too, right? We have the U of R Rams traveling to Alberta this weekend to take on the Golden Bears. And the Regina Thunder head into playoffs on Sunday as they host the Edmonton Huskies at Libel Field. Remember the wiener dog race that my man Evan Bray was going to put his dog Mike in? It was supposed to be last weekend, but they scrapped it because it got so bad with the weather. So they pushed the wiener dog race to this weekend. And yes, Evan Bray's dog, Mike, is still the odds-on favorite to win. They had over 40 dogs ready to roll. That'll be pretty cute during halftime of the Thunder game on the weekend. The Pats, they have their breast cancer awareness game tomorrow night against the Brandon Wheat Kings at the Brand Center. And they've got those specially designed 22 fresh jerseys that they will auction off for charity after the game, too. The puck drops against the Wheaties at 6 o'clock. Oh, and we're, of course, in the high school football playoffs. Tonight, two big games at Libel Field, starting at 5:15, O'Neill and Riffle. And at 7:30, Leboldus takes on Winston Knoll. Miller and Campbell waiting in the wings with the bye. They have the bye till the 24th. But yeah, fun, exciting times for football fans here in this province right now. Shout out to our farming community on a harvest well done. The crops are 98% in the bin now. That, according to the latest crop report, right across the province, 98% in the bin. Tiny bit left to go when it comes to mustard, flax, soybeans, and chickpeas. But a lot of the heavy lifting is over with, but there's always still lots of work around the farm. Before you know it, it'll be calving season, and it just continues to roll on for sure. But lots of fall fowl suppers on this weekend in rural communities and even a few here in the city, too. So the harvest end is celebrated in a lot of those fall suppers. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you had a great night last night watching the Blue Jays, huh? Whew! We are down to a best of three in the ALCS.
And now it's over. Dominguez strikes him out to finish it off. And the Blue Jays have taken the first two here in Seattle to even up this series at two wins apiece.
Remember, the Jays scored just 4 runs in the first 2 games at home, but they have scored 21 runs in Seattle to even the series at 2 games apiece. Now it's a best of 3. And not that home advantage seems to matter, but the Jays have captured home field advantage again. Game 5 tonight at 4 in Seattle. Game 6 Sunday in Toronto. And if necessary, Game 7
on Monday.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey!
Bring them out, bring them out.
Bring him to us. He is Belton Johnson, Green Zone analyst, Great Cup Jab, here to tee up the big game between the Riders and Winnipeg. Belton, let me begin with Machine Gun Kelly, the Great Cup halftime show. I was just revealing all that I knew about him a few moments ago. Big Machine Gun Kelly fan, Belton?
I don't even know who he is, Greg. I'm going to be honest with you. I told my wife yesterday, and she was like, oh, wow, really? And so I know she knew who he was and everything. And I just said, you know, what do you know about him? Like, oh, I think he had a baby with some actress or something.
Fox,
that's all,
yeah.
I knew, Greg.
Well, see, you do know your pop culture. You know, honestly, a couple of years ago, he performed, I think it was during the NHL All-Star Game, and I thought, wow, he's really good. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't mind him at all. I think it'll be all right, especially in Winnipeg when you want to rock and warm up, because it's probably going to be miserably cold there. So, my friend, let me school you on what you need to know about how this is going down tonight in Winnipeg. The game means nothing to us. We've clinched top spot of the West. However, with two games left, Winnipeg trails the Lions and the Calgary Stampeders by just 2 points in the West. Well, the Bombers are 2 points up on the Elks for the final playoff spot. Three of those four teams will make the playoffs as an Eastern crossover. If BC loses to Edmonton tonight, Winnipeg will clinch a playoff spot regardless of how they do against us. A Lions win, a Winnipeg loss, and a Calgary loss against Toronto on Saturday would secure second place in the division for the Lions. A Winnipeg loss, an Edmonton loss, or a Calgary win would clinch a playoff spot for the Stamps. You get all that, buddy?
Oh, man, let's just let the games play out tonight, Greg.
Well, it's going to be a new look for the green and white, right? So many are sitting out and a lot of rookies. So without naming everyone or else I'll run out of time here, are you interested in seeing anyone tonight in particular that's going to be inserted in the lineup while a lot of the vets are out?
Well, the one guy I'm looking forward to seeing here is Mario Anderson. He's the backup running back to A.J. Ouellette, right? And I know he had one solid game this year. He looked really good, so it'll be good to see him in that starting role to see what he could do here for the Riders.
Anyone else?
And the other would be the most spot along the old line, Greg, is the center. And Noel, he's coming in. I believe he's going to be the starter at center. And my thing with the old line, the center play, is center has to know everything. And who knows what the Bombers are going to bring, depending on, you know, what happened in some games tonight and everything here, right? So looking forward to it.
Brett Lauther is going to continue to handle field goal and kickoff duties. And, of course, Jake Merritt, quarterback, can he put us in a position to win the last two, Belton?
I'm on the fence with Jake Merritt, to be honest with you right now, Greg. You know, I know he got the one start earlier this year, threw 470 yards. He didn't look too crisp to me, so he has the full week here of practice. I'm willing to see what he's going to have here because, again, playoffs are coming up. You want to be playing some good ball no matter what, even if you're a backup.
Wow. I thought you'd be a little more excited about Mayer. I want him to do well, largely because
– yeah.
Go ahead.
I do want him to do well. It's just I just haven't seen. I want to see that Jake Mayer that I've seen with the Stamps and everything. Right, that's the Jake Mayer, you know, early in his career. That's the guy that I want to see tonight.
Yeah, and we do need that, largely in part because you never know as we head towards that West Final. It would be nice to know that Mayer is looking great for us and got a little more security going into that West Final. Trevor's the third stringer tonight, according to the lineup. Well, anything in the NFL this weekend you're most pumped about seeing?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I was kind of pumped last night. The Bengals stole a win there. The two aging quarterbacks there, right?
Well, I missed it. I was working at the Alzheimer's Gala, but I missed that one. Who's your game of the weekend?
The game of the weekend probably for me, Greg, is going to be the Buccaneers and the Detroit Lions. They play Monday night.
That is
playoff caliber type team.
All right, my man. You have a good weekend and go Riders. Thanks for the insight, pal.
Hey, have a good one, Greg.
And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground.
Jays fans, song could be for you. They're just not backing down. It's now a best of three. The Jays won again last night. All of Toronto is abuzz right now because even the Leafs won. They went to overtime.
William Nylander, 2-1-1. Nylander works in. Back in front, they score! Austin Matthews, overtime winner! Leafs take it 2-1.
Yeah, Leafs beat the Rangers. And incidentally, Austin Matthews was asked if he scoreboard watches the Jays games too.
Yeah, I think it's great. I especially liked when they would show the scoreboard and they were winning, and the crowd got a good kick out of that. And I mean, obviously, we're all rooting for them in their series, and it's been really fun to follow them.
Now, it is a best of three for the Jays in Seattle tonight. One more game, then they move to Toronto for the final two. Man, the ratings for this must be just growing and growing as Blue Jays fever takes over. I couldn't watch the game last night. I was busy at the Alzheimer's Night to Remember Gala where I was MC and just had a blast helping to raise money for the local chapter that supports research programs that assist caregivers and so much more. And I wanted to share this interview I did backstage with our guest speaker, Scott Bray, who shared just a powerful story having lost, get this, his mother to Alzheimer's, his sister, and his wife to Alzheimer's. He's the reason we raise so much money, and he did so in sharing his story and inspired so many to give last night.
I lost three very dear people to me to dementia, my mother and my sister Kathy at 59 and my wife Carolyn at 62 years old. One of the significant things is with help from support, which you can get through Alzheimer's Society, we were able to keep Carolyn at home. And that was a pretty significant win for her and for my family.
I bet you can relate to a lot of people listening this morning who are presently caregivers and they know they're caregivers, or at a stage where they don't even know they're a caregiver. They're just trying to wrap their head and understand that their loved one right now, they're starting to doubt, have questions. Was that you one time?
Oh, absolutely. There were moments I felt for my loved ones, why aren't you doing better? You can do better than this. And the fact is they can't. And everybody reaches, as a caregiver, reaches that point of doubt. And the important thing is reach out. Yeah. You can only be as good as you are to yourself as well. You want to be a caregiver to your loved one, but you have to do self-care as well. And that means reaching out to Alzheimer's Society of Saskatchewan.
I remember before I got the advice to reach out to the Alzheimer's Society, feeling a little alone, a little dark and frustrated. You've gone through it three times, sadly. I felt at times pretty dark and frustrated before I knew better to go and ask for help. Were you ever there?
Yes. And I can't go much further right now. It's going to choke me up. But yeah, it happens to all of us. It's so perplexing. That's why the depth of knowledge from the staff at Alzheimer's Society is so crucial. You know, the funding that they get is imperative to us being better caregivers at our darkest.
I want to understand who your wife was. Tell me about her.
My wife was my heart, my soul, my everything. She was, professionally, she was a registered nurse for 37 years. She worked in coronary care unit for most of those years. She was, I'm going to say it, she was the best mom ever created. And that includes my mom and her mom. And she just instinctively knew how to care for people. That's why her profession was so central to who and how she was. But, you know, that's where things started to fall off the wagon a little bit, is she was making mistakes at work that were uncharacteristic. And it just defeated her so much. That's when you knew that something was wrong.
Do you remember your last night with your wife?
Mm-hmm. I absolutely do. It was our 37th wedding anniversary, and we had a nice little candlelit dinner at home because dementia had taken so much from us by then. We couldn't go out and celebrate. As I cleared the table, I remembered how vital Carolyn was 37 years prior. I asked her for a dance, and of course, dementia had taken her ability to really walk, and it affected her movement and her speech and all of the things that go with the disease. But at the moment, she knew who I was, why it was important, and we swayed gently to the music, and 3 hours later, she passed.
That's Scott Bray, our guest speaker last night at the Alzheimer's Gala. And after Scott shared his story, almost everyone in attendance felt the need to give. And just within that live auction, where we auctioned off a half a dozen awesome prize packages, We then offered an opportunity where just anyone in the audience could raise their hand and tell us how much they'd like to give, what they were feeling, and it would be matched by KLM. And first up was former Mayor Doug Archer, who gave $5,000. Others did too. Some offered $2,500. Others said, here's $500. Lots gave $100. And following that live auction and just that simple gesture of donating that took about a half hour in our program, well, 30 minutes later, we had about almost $50,000 taken in. That's not the final total. That's to be determined after all the other auction items, tickets, and donation money is tallied up. But just to give you a sense of how quickly we raised $50,000, 30 minutes after Scott spoke, we had 50 in our pocket for the Alzheimer's Society.
Hi, this is Ray Frehley. Here I am, again in this city, with a fistful of dollars. And baby, you better believe I'm back, back in the New York room.
You guys actually developed a code name for cocaine. Do you want to share it with our viewers?
Well, we call it Betty White, you know. You know the story. It's all history. I've been sober now 7.5 years. Thank God.
Space Ace, Ace Frehley of KISS, 74, as you heard there. He died after suffering a fall at his home recently. He was then hospitalized, and that led to complications. Apparently, he suffered a brain bleed, and his family gathered, and there was no hope. Quite the story of Ace, though. He began playing guitar at the age of 13, and like a typical rock star life at the time, he dropped out of school at one point to pursue his endeavors, and in 1972, he answered an advertisement to audition for a band, ultimately known as KISS, with Gene, Paul, and Peter, the drummer. They started in 1973, and he took on the stage persona of the Spaceman, or Space Ace, as he was referred to. When all four members of KISS released solo albums back in about 78, it was his that did the best on the charts. New York Groove, you heard a little of it there, that went to the top 20, and his solo album outsold his three counterparts, and Ace was with KISS from the inception of KISS in 1973 to about 1982. That was his first really big departure. He was in and out of KISS a number of times, along with drummer Peter Criss. The two of them, unlike Gene and Paul, who never drank or did drugs, really, those two battled drugs and alcohol often. Here is Ace totally blitzed in a television interview with Tom Snyder back in the day.
But you're kind of like a spaceman, huh?
No, actually, I'm a plumber. On the side.
Well, you know, listen, I got a little piece of pipe backstage I'd like to have you work on.
Tell me about it.
Anyhow, Ace was often at odds with Paul and Gene for not letting him back in the band. Both released a statement on his passing, though. They said, quote, "We're devastated by the passing of Ace. He was an essential and irreplaceable rock soldier during some of his most formative foundational chapters of the band and its history, and he is and always will be a part of KISS's legacy." Gene also added a personal statement saying he's sad Ace won't be there when KISS gets into the Kennedy Center Honor in December. And in a Facebook post, original KISS drummer Peter Criss said he and his wife were among family and friends who were by Ace at the end. But yeah, he was self-taught, never took a guitar lesson. His friends nicknamed him Ace in high school for success in the dating world. He designed the original KISS lightning bolt logo. And as I said, he was the spaceman based on his love of science fiction. And of course, his wild smoking guitar solos became KISS trademark moments at concerts. Apparently, he was ranked number 14 on the Guitar World's list of greatest metal guitarists. Ace Frehley of KISS, gone at the age of 74.